Tonight is Monday, yeah, March 12th, or Yud Ches Adar. This is the Gemara Shira Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph in Masechta Sukkah. Hey, Rabbi Tai, we're on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. We started the Mishnah last week, and we have many comments on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Mitzvus Arava Ketzad Makom Hoya Lamata Mirushalayim V'Nikra Motza Yardan L'Sham Umelaktin Umelaktin Misham Murbiyo Shel Arava." The Mitzvah Arava is that they used to go down from Yerushalayim to Motza and bring packets of arava, uba'in v'zokvin osam b'tzidei ha-mizbeach. They placed them against the sides of the mizbeach, v'rashen kifufin agabei ha-mizbeach. And the tips of the aravos overlapped, draped over the mizbeach. So we mentioned last week, why is it that the Mishnah is so important for us to know where they got the aravos for? Who cares? So we had mentioned one group of Rishayim who placed a halachic value to it, based on the fact that this was done befirsum, public display, in order to counter those who denied the mitzvah of Arava, namely the Tzdukim. And we drew the analogy to the elaborate ceremony that Beis Din engaged on Motzoi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach in the cutting of the Omer. There was a whole tekes about cutting the grain for the Korban Omer, because the Tzdukim did not believe that it took place that particular night. Other Rishonim say it has nothing to do with the halachic significance, but it's simply a piece of information about Eretz Yisrael. These are a vote, as we pointed out, if the Mishnah tells you that they have to drape over the Mizbeach, have to be unusually high, very tall. Most of us have seen plenty of aravos. Plenty. And they're decent size aravos. We have plenty of aravos. But to have an arava that is 10 amos so long is not easy to get. In Motza, they happen to have had extremely long aravot. So the reason why the Mishnah tells us they went to Motza, because that was the only place in Eretz Yisrael where aravot grew in excess of 10 point something amot. Because the Mizbeach was 10 amot high, it had to loop over, drape over the Mizbeach. So this is not a halachically significant piece of information, just a botanical piece of information. That you can go any place in Eretz Yisrael, you will never find such big aravot, except in the town of Motza. So next time we go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll make this a trip, class trip. We'll stop off and try to see if indeed they are. Anybody ever been to Motza?
Only the sign.
But yeah, I know. That's why I pointed out. We see that sign when you come down to the bottom of the hill all the time. Because the next sign is Mivaseret, right? Mivaseret. So the Mall of Mivaseret we all go to because of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah, that's point number one. Now, point number two is take the sheet that I gave you and look at the Gemara in Me'ilah, which I once mentioned to you, and I want to share with you Machloikis Rashi versus many other Rishonim. So the Mishnah describes here, I bracketed the relevant lines in the Mishnah. Arava lo nehenin velo mo'alin. There is no Isra of Me'ilah associated with personal use of the aravot. Now, this is important because the Mishnah doesn't tell you that when you eat matzah, there's no isa me'ila on the isa on a piece of matzah that you eat. Why might I think that there is an isa me'ila personal use of something of the arava? Because its activity is in the mikdash. And normally when you use something designated for mikdash use, for Beit HaMikdash use, personal use is prohibited, and you violate the Isra of Me'ilah. So if I were to donate these chairs, I say, Kisei Zeh Lebenek Habayis, I donate this to the Berech Habayis. It is endowed with Kedushas Damim. Its value has sanctity. And if I sit on it, I violate an Issur Me'ilah. And it's a serious Issur. You get Malkus if you do it deliberately. If you do it B'shoigig, you have to pay Keren, Chomesh, and a Korban Me'ilah. Asham Me'ilah. You got to bring a special Korban. Asham Me'ilah. So here the Mishnah is telling me, despite the fact that the Arava is used in the context of the Mikdash service throughout the Yontav of Sukkot, nonetheless, it does not attain the status of something for which the Isur Me'ilah will apply, but nonetheless, there's an Isur to have Hana'ah from it. Lo Nehenin v'lo Mo'alin. You are not permitted to derive benefit from it, despite the fact that the Isur Me'ilah does not apply. Why are you not allowed to derive benefit from it if the Isur Me'ilah does not apply? This is a standard halacha. What's the answer, Rabotai? Because any mitzvah, any object that has been set aside for a mitzvah is huktza l'mitzvasa, has been set aside for its mitzvah, and as a result, one is permitted to go ahead, one is not permitted to derive any particular use from it. So that's what the Mishnah says. Lo nehenin v'lo mo'alin. Rabbi Lazar b'Reb Tzadok omer, no hagin hayu hazikenim, shenehenin mimenu belulaveim. No, the elders in Yerushalayim did derive benefit from it. They were didn't want to buy aravos. They didn't want to spend the money on the aravos. The lulav dealers were ripping us off with the aravos. Remember, years ago, aravos were never part of the set. Right? You only bought a lulav, an esrog, and hadasim, and aravos you had to buy separately. So this guy didn't want to. Well, the Beis Hamikdash, they got plenty of aravos. So he went to the Beis Hamikdash, took one of those aravos, and stuck him into his lulav. That's what the Mishnah says. Let's take a look at Rashi and see what exactly is the point of debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Lazar ben Tzadok. So I bracketed on the left-hand side the Rashi, Arava, Shahayas Sidurin Baharabayis, on the side it says, B'tzideh HaMizbeach, that were organized and arranged on the side of the Mizbeach, Lo Nehenin Mimena Kodim Shizakfu Eitzel HaMizbeach. You are not permitted to derive any personal benefit before they have been stood up against the Mizbeach. Ho'il ulekach omedes. Because its function, its purpose is to be used in the context of the mitzvah of Zekifa al Gavei HaMizbeach. Avo mishizakfuhu dina'aseis mitzvasa. But once they already put the ha'aravos on, leaned it against the Mizbeach, and the mitzvah has already been performed, nehenim mimena, you are permitted to go ahead and derive benefit from it. Why? Because it's already na'aseis mitzvasa. And na'aseis mitzvasa is a general rule even for me'ila. Even for me'ila. Namely, if something has been used in the mikdash and the mitzvah has already now been done, under those circumstances, the Issur Me'ilah has been paka. I'll give you a perfect illustration. There are, it's a famous debate, famous Gemara in Temura. We'll come across it later, the Daf Yomi. Where the Gemara says that kol hanisrafin afron mutter. Kol hanisrafin afron mutter. What does that mean? Wherever there is something that you're not allowed to use, and the halacha demands that you should burn it, once you've burnt it, the mitzvah has already taken place, and you can use the ashes. So take something which is psulei hamizbeach. Something has been disqualified for the mizbeach. Let's take anything which is disqualified. I am bringing a korban, and now I had in mind that I was going to eat this korban, or the kohen had his mind, depending on who makes it pigul, that I'm going to eat it chutz lizmano, outside or above and beyond its normally allotted time. So if I have a korban shlomim that I'm bringing, you're only allowed to eat a korban shlomim for 2 days and one night. As I am slaughtering the behema, I have in mind I'm eating it for 3 days. That renders the animal pigul. and its puzzle cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. What are you supposed to do with pigel? You're supposed to burn it. What are you supposed to do with meat of a korban that is left over beyond its prescribed time? V'hanosar mimenu ba'esh tisrofu. Good. So now, once the mitzvah of Shreifa has been done, the afer is mutter. Afron mutter. They used to use ash as fertilizer. Apparently it's good fertilizer. I don't know, but that's what they say. It's used as good fertilizer. Once it's been what? Used for the mitzvah, the isur me'ila totally is paka, and personal use is permitted. As long as it's na'aseis mitzvasa. Here too, once you put the arava agave ha-mizbeach, it's na'aseis mitzvasa, the isur hana'a is paka. Yeah.
They wouldn't use it the second day or another day in the Mikdash?
What?
They brought special rubbers every single day?
Apparently. Apparently. Yes. Apparently. Or, even if they didn't, as long as it's not been used yet, once it's lying there, it's lying there ready to be put up, you still can't use it. But anyone that has already been placed on the Mizbeach, it's already done with. You can't use that the next day. Yeah. That's an excellent, because that would now depend on the general question of Hazmana Milsa, Hazmana Lav Milsa. Correct. So Abaye, that would be the machla. According to Abaye, the Isra Hana'a would begin as soon as you cut them in Motza. Because once you designate something for a mitzvah, it already attains its status. And therefore it could not be used. We paskin like Rava that hazmana, simply preparing something for use, is not considered in advance. So once they get to the mizbeach, outside of mizbeach, now it's already been designated for use, and you cannot do so.
Wait, so Rashi said, I thought Rashi says you can't use it until they're used.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. So, now he asked, correct, but when does the Issa start? Rashi said, when can't you use them? When they're on the Harabais. Rashi said, "What of them? Sheshiduah b'hara mizbeach, but sara mizbeach. When they put them b'sara mizbeach, that's when they're now done. What about when they're bringing them from Motza?
He doesn't say either. Oh, so he's saying that's depending on the machlokas.
Correct. That would depend on. He doesn't say either way. But yeah. I would imagine that because that's why Rashi makes the point of saying shahayu put them when they seduros b'tzidei hamizbeach to let you know that lehalacha before that you probably could derive benefit from it." Now, what does Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok say? He says, let's continue to Rashi, Nehenin hayu mimeno zekenim belulaveim afilu kodem shenizkefa etzal hamizbeach. Even before it has been zakuf on the mizbeach, you're allowed to derive benefit from it. So Rashi believes that there is a full-fledged machloikus. The Chachamim say that there is an Isur Hanah, and Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok says there is no Isur Hanah. That's the way Rashi learns. Other Rishonim say no. Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok, as the Gemara says, is coming to be mefaresh the Tanakama. When the Tanakama said you're not permitted to what? To derive benefit from it, comes along Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok and he says, when are you not allowed to derive benefit? Until you put it on the Mizbeach. But when you put it on the Mizbeach, after that you can take it and put it into your lulav. So according to some Rishonim, there is no debate in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok, the second opinion, is simply to come to clarify the first opinion. And that's a format which the Mishnah does from time to time. That a second minority opinion is not coming to disagree with the Chachamim, but rather to explain their opinion. However, there are opinions somewhere in between as well.
According to that way of learning, if Tzadok is saying that after the mitzvah is done, I can use it, that's what he's saying?
That's what he's saying, exactly.
What do I need that?
Okay, because I'm going to tell you that there are other Hamrish. I'll tell you why. I'll show you what some say. The Urayim says that Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok didn't say, I can use my Arava as a broom. He did not say that. Only into the lulav. Therefore, he claims that the heter of Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok is qualifying the Chachamim in a different regard. The Chachamim say that that what happens after Zekifa al Gabei HaMizbeach, it's Mutar Legamre. You're allowed to derive all benefit. The Yerayim says no. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok is saying, I will allow you to use the Aravos after you place them on the Mizbeach, but only for Tzorech Mitzvah. Not for Tzorech Prati, for an ordinary use. You could not do so. Only L'Tzorech Mitzvah. That's what the Yerayim says. The Reim says, Rabbi Lezer Mimetz. Now, how long does this particular Isur go? Yeah.
Does it attain the status of Tashmishei Kedusha once it touches the Mizbeach?
But if it was Tashmishei Kedusha, then it shouldn't even be able to be used on for the Arava. Because Tashmishei Kedusha can't be used, something for the Korban in the Mikdash can't be used for even personal mitzvos. So I don't know if I would go that far. But he claims it could only be used for another mitzvah. Okay, that's a little unusual. It's hard to find a parallel when a mitzvah has been fulfilled. Now I want to use that item for another. I can only use it for another mitzvah. I really can't think of another parallel to that. For example, somebody was an Oysher and he bought 7 esrogim, 7 sets of lulavim. He designated 1 lu esrog for each day. So if you remember on Daf Lamed Hay, we had the halacha that during the Yant of Sukkot, you're not allowed to eat your esrog. Not allowed to eat? Because it's hooked solem mitzvasa. But somebody who buys 7 esrogim, after the first day, he's allowed to do whatever he wants with that esrog. Can do whatever he wants. Make jelly right away the first day. Why? Because he's already set up the haktzah not for 7 days, but only for 1 day. I've never seen anybody say, "Oh, you can use the esrog for some kind of mitzvah activity, but you can't make jelly out of it." I've never seen. So it's an unusual position of the Urayim, but he believes that's what Rabbi Lezer Rav Tzadok is saying. You can say Rabbi Lezer Rav Tzadok is just saying, "What else are you going to use an arava for?" You can really use it for anything. But most of us can't think of much of a use for our. Anybody ever use aravos for anything besides in a lulav? I don't know if it has much use. So it could be the Rabbi Lazar Rav Tzadok is just talking practically, not halachically. But the Urayim did not believe that he was talking about practically, but halachically. Tzorech mitzvah is permissible, non-tzorech mitzvah is prohibited. How long does the Isur of Haktza'ah apply? So according to most Rishonim, it applies until Motza'ei Hoshana Rabbah. Because once something is used, available on Hoshana Rabbah, that's it. A whole day it becomes Huxala Mitzvasa. And after Hoshana Rabbah, on Shmini Atzeres, you can now use it. You can now use it. And there's no reason to assume it should remain anything beyond after that first day. However, the Shibale Haleket says it remains Asur Oil Isur Olam Bizman HaMikdash and only Bizman HaZeh. When it's Minat Nevi'im, under those circumstances it becomes Mutter. But he does not tell us why Bizman HaMikdash something remains Asur Le'olam Va'ed. Unless, on account of the fact that it's, I can't explain, I don't know why. I don't know why this particular item should remain asur le'olam. After Hoshana Rabbah, it's not what's so special about it. Yeah.
Isn't an esrog remaining moksha even on Shmini Atzeres?
No.
Finish mashos?
Only the sukkah is. That's the difference. That's a good question. We will learn later on that a sukkah remains muktzah on Bein on Shmini Atzeres and us for Simchas Torah, based on the following halacha. The din is migu de iskatzoy lebein hashmashos iskatzoy lekula yoyma. If something remains muktzah at twilight, then it remains muktzah for the entire next day. So here is the test case. It was Hoshana Rabbah. Let's say Shkiyas Hacham is 5 o'clock. Okay, Tzeis is at 5:40. I want to eat a meal at 5:05. Where is that meal have to be eaten? tell me what your answer is and why you came to that conclusion. Where does that meal have to be eaten? If you want to eat a meal, talk about in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz. Where does the meal have to be eaten at 5:05? Why?
It might be day.
Because it might be day.
It might be the seventh day of Sukkot.
And it's a suffix to Oraisa. Exactly. It might still be Sukkot. So it's a suffix Yom, suffix Laila. Suffix if it's still Hoshana Rabbah. Suffix it might be Shmini Atzeres. So it's a Sveika de Oraisa, and you go Lechumra, the meal has to be eaten in the Sukkah. Once it's Mukta Bein Ashmashos, it now remains Mukta on Shmini Atzeres. Now I ask you the next question. 5:05, you realize I had not yet taken Arba Minim on Hoshana Rabbah. Do you have to take a Lulav and Esrog on Hoshana Rabbah or not? 5:05 p.m. on Hoshana Rabbah, if Shkia was at 5. What's the answer? No. Why not? Why? Because it's a Sveika de Rabbanan. The mitzvah of Arba Minim is only D'oraisa, the first day. The seventh, the last days 2 through 7, it's only the Rabbanan. So now I have a right to assume, since it's a the Rabbanan, that I go to Kula. 5:01 is already Shmini Atzeres. There is no mitzvah of Lulav on Shmini Atzeres. So therefore, since it's not Huktza L'mitzvasa at Bein Hashmashas of Shana Rabbah, therefore it can't be Muktza on Shmini Atzeres. You always have to have the mitzvah operative Bein Hashmashos to trigger it to the next day. So by Sukkah, as we will see, it is, but by Lulav and Esrog, it is not. It is not.
According to that last opinion,
yes,
if it's done in the Mikdash, that was the Shkoli Aleket.
That's correct.
So he says Rabbi Elazar is only talking about after the Mikdash?
No, he's saying he's not commenting about Rabbi Elazar B'Tzadok. That whether it depends how you he didn't tell me what he holds about Rabbi Elazar B'Tzadok. Does he mean Rabbi Elazar B'Tzadok is saying that after Zman HaMikdash, anything goes? And he's just using that as an illustration? Or is he saying, L'tzorech mitzvah I'm going to allow, but I'm never going to allow L'tzorech chol? That I don't know. We don't know. See, one has nothing to do with the other. One has nothing to do with the other. We have Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadok is independent as to how far the Isur Muktzah extends. It's two separate issues. So the Shibali Aleket commenting that it goes Bezman HaMikdash is not really resolved by Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadok, because it depends on what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadok is telling us. Is he telling us that it means all use is permissible? In which case,
He just said that at the time of the Mikdash, you can never use it la'olam.
Correct.
Rabbi Elazar Tzadok is telling you get to use it somewhere, somehow.
So he'll say Rabbi Elazar Tzadok is talking about post-Mikdash. Okay. Or you can say that Rabbi Elazar Tzadok is talking about Bizman HaMikdash. But what does he allow? Only the Tzarech Mitzvah. But he will not allow something which is personal use. I don't know. I would prefer to assume that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok is talking about during the Mikdash, because we know that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok lived during Bayis Sheni. We know that from other Mishnayos. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok is the one who said that Charoisis is mitzvah. We came across that Mishnah. He was Bizman HaMikdash. We know that. He's one of the earlier Tanaim, and he was Bizman HaMikdash. But so it's hard to know what he's saying in that regard. Good. Now, the Mishnah says, let's continue the Mishnah. Taku v'hariyu v'taku. They sounded the shofar in conjunction with the aravos. So we pointed out last week, Tosfos says, Mishum Simcha. What might be the origin of Tkiyas Shofar or Mishum Simcha? Where did Tosfos get that from? Correct. Precisely. Uve Yom Simchaschem Uve Mayadechem Uve Rosh Echadshechem. Every Yom Tov Uskaten Bachatzoitzrois Al Oloseichem V'al Zivchei Shomechem. So there is a pasuk that says that every Yom Tov you are supposed to sound tkios in conjunction with certain activity that takes place on that day. In fact, the famous Sifri, Uv'yoyim simchaschem elu shabbosos, refers to Shabbos. Because Moadechem already says Uv'yoyim Moadechem. So what does it have? It says Uv'yoyim simchaschem, Moadechem, Roshei Chodsheichem. So there's a Korban Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, there's a Korban Musaf on Moadim, and what is it? Uv'yoyim simchaschem. Therefore the Gemara says Uv'yoyim simchaschem is elu shabbosos. In fact, the Rav's father always used to, Rav quoted this very often, to explain why Nusach Ashkenaz is correct and Nusach Sfarad is wrong. In regard to what? Whether you say Yismachu b'malchuscha Shomrei Shabbos v'kairei oineg on Shabbos or not. So those of you who daven in a shtibul know that every time, every tefillah, you say Yismachu b'malchuscha Shomrei Shabbos v'kairei. Say it Friday night, Shachris, and Musaf. We Ashkenazim only say it by Musaf, and on Shabbos morning we start the second phrase Am Mekadesh Shvi. Why? Because we believe that there is no mitzvah of Simcha on a Shabbos in Chutz Laretz, not even in Eretz Yisrael. The only place where there is a mitzvah of Simcha is in the Mikdash. So when you daven Musaf, which is the commemoration of what? Tfilas Musaf, of the Korban Musaf in the Mikdash, so you say Yismichu b'malchuscha. But on a regular Shabbos, Shabbos morning, there's no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos, and as a result, why would you say Yismichu b'malchuscha? So Tosfos claims, without elaborating, that the source of Simcha, of Tkiyos, happens to be that the mitzvah of Simcha, and it's undoubtedly related to the pasuk. Yes. No, this is Mikdash. Here he's talking about Bizman Mikdash. Minig Neviim is post Mikdash. Mikdash, it's either Abashol, Huron Zerah from Arve Nachal, or Halach Lameshim Yisina, did our Rabbah Shabbat Mikdash. However, the Tosfos Rid claims that this is not such a davar pashut. Please open up for a moment to Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. For a moment. Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Okay, the Mishnah here tells us how many sounds of the shofar there were, shofar or chatzosis, that's another debate, in the Mikdash, in conjunction with Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mishnah says, Ein pochsin me'esrim v'achas tkios b'mikdash, v'ein mosifin al arbo'im u'shmoneh. You never have less than 21 blowings of the shofar, and never more than 48. Fine. Then in the Gemara itself, says, so take a look at the Mishnah. Then continues. I want to get to the Mishnah, which part which is relevant for us. It says. It's about four lines later. Erev Shabbos shebitoch hachag hayu arbaim. You know what? Let's read the three lines in the Mishnah. We can afford the time. Let's read the Mishnah. How do you get to 48? Bechol yom hayu sham esrim v'achas tkiyos b'mikdash. Every day there were 21 blowings of the shofar. Shalosh lepsicha she'arim, when they opened the gates. Teisha l'tamid shel shachar, 9 when they brought the Korban Tamid shel shachar. Teisha l'tamid shel bein arba'im. Ubu musafin hayu musifin od teisha. Okay, so that's 21. Ubu erev Shabbos hayu musifin sheish. Shalosh lahavtil esa'am b'malacha. Ushalosh lahavtil bin kodesh l'chol. 3 were made as an announcement. Hey, Shabbos is coming, you better get home and do whatever you have to do. And 3, to signal Shabbos is here, no more malacha. They still have the siren in Yerushalayim, Adayim Hazeh. On Friday they blow the siren to commemorate this, what took place in the Mikdash. Erev Shabbos, Shebesoch Echag, on Erev Sukkos, in the middle of Erev Shabbos, in the middle of Sukkos, Hayusham Arbam Ushimone. There were 48. How do I get to 48? Shalosh Lepsicha She'arim, three opening up the gates. Shalosh L'Shara Elyon, three when they came to the upper gate, when they were bringing the water for the Nisach HaMayim. Shalosh L'Shara Tachton, three when they reached the lower gate. Shalosh L'Milui HaMayim, three for what? For the filling of the water, taking the water and put it into a kli shareis, with which they were going to pour it on the mizbeach. Ushalosh al gabe mizbeach, and three al gabe mizbeach. No, when was that? What does that mean? Al gabe mizbeach. So Mois Rishonim said that's with the arava. That was with the arava. With the arava. Teisha l'tamid shel shachar. Teisha l'tamid shel ben abayim. Teisha l'musafin. Shalosh l'haftil l'samim melecha. V'shalosh l'haftil ben kodesh l'cha. So now, if you add it all up, hopefully, if you take PC calculus, you'll get it right as 48. Fine. Take a look at the Gemara Nun Dal Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Erev Shabbos Shebesocha Chag, V'ilu Lamala Asiris Lo Katani. What exactly is Mala Asiris? I guess the tenth step. Mani Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakovi. Desanya Shalosh Lamala Asiris. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Shalosh Agabe Mizbeach. Omer Lamala Asiris Eino Omer Agabe HaMizbeach. Apparently, when there, as you well know, that there are 15 steps. There are 15 Shira Malos. 15 steps when you're walking in from the Harabayis into the Mikdash. There are 15 steps. When you go on the Harabayit tour, we show you those 15 steps exactly where they are. Right? Remember those 15 steps right where they are. And so some opinion says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no. Where did they have an extra three? When they reached the 10th step, that's when they also blew. The Gemara says, whoever says that they blew at the 10th step says they did not blow where? Al gabe hamizbeach. Says the Tosfos Rid. That's very nice. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says a davar pashut, that they blew the shofar together with what? When they put the aravos al gabe hamizbeach, and that's what it means, al gabe hamizbeach. Says the Tosfos Rid. No. Not according to everybody. That's only according to one Tana. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that if they blew where? On the 10th step, they did not blow al gabe hamizbeach for the arava, then there was no tkiyah shofar associated with the placing of the arava on the mizbeach. So our Mishnah, which claims that you undoubtedly do blow the shofar for the arava, claims that what? That it's it just machnish visendik. It doesn't even let you into the machloi. It just says it's a davar pashut that you did blow on three on the gabei mizbeach, and it doesn't really let you know that that's subject to debate. So the Tosfos Rid points out that this Mishnah here is operating on the assumption that they did blow al gabe hamizbeach, and they did not blow on Mala HaAsiris on the 10th step in conjunction with the Nisuch HaMayim being brought up the various steps of the mizbeach. That's what the Tosfos Rid says.
Nisuch HaMayim was done every day?
Every day of every day.
Maybe an afternoon if it was Erev Shabbos or not.
No, the Erev Shabbos was only because you had the three extra.
Yes, maybe.
To not to do malacha.
No, but my point is, if it wasn't Erev Shabbos, both would agree that they would blow at the... Yeah. Well, they would both blow at the Erevah, because you need, basically out of the 48, you're taking six of them because it's Erev Shabbos.
Correct.
So maybe the Tano says, this Mishnah, they argue because it's Erev Shabbos. And they can only go up to 48. So they
no, our Mishnah is not talking about only Erev Shabbos.
So the Mishnah in
Nun Gimel.
Right.
Correct.
So according to that Gemara is talking on...
No, but they said they blew it, and the other no, the Gemara says that there was a debate whether you blew it on the 10th step or not. The Mishnah doesn't list the 10th step.
I understand that.
So why is that laid only to Erev Shabbos?
Because basically on Erev Shabbos, the total has to be, I'm just giving you a possibility.
Total has to be 48.
So on Erev Shabbos, we lose out of the 48, where we normally would have blown at the Erev and at the 10th step. We have to eliminate some, because we need six for Shabbos. So maybe they're only arguing on Erev Shabbos.
No, so well, why wouldn't they just blow 54? If you had to blow both.
Mishnah says, I don't know, there's 48. Okay. I don't know. Okay.
Perhaps. All right. Perhaps.
I don't like it. Okay.
No. Progress report. So, progress report. Tell mom to expect one. That's all. Yeah. Yes. Good. Now, good. Let's continue. Says the Mishnah, Bechol Yom Makifin Es HaMizbeach Pamachas. Va'omrim ana Hashem Hoshiyana ana Hashem Atzlichana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ani v'ho Hoshiyana. Va'oso hayoyim makifen es hamizbeach sheva pa'amin. On Hoshana Rabbah, that day they were makif the mizbeach 7 days, seven times rather. Listen to this statement which Rav Haigon made. It's just unbelievable. The Sefer Hamanhig quotes Rav Hai. Sheminag haya lahakif kol yom gimel pa'amin. Our practice was to be makif the bima every single time, every single day of Sukkot, three times. Ubishvi'i zayin, and on the seventh day, seven times. Va'al tishiveni, don't ask a question on me, says Rav Hai. Midisnan, it says in the Mishnah we just learned, Bechol Yomayim Akif and Asaveach Pamachas. Listen to his answer. Shehakofas HaMizbeach Amidohi Velo HaKofa Beregel Vehiluch Saviv Shaharei Lohoya Lahem Rishus LeYisrael Likanes Ben Hu'ulam LeMizbeach. Remember on Daf Mem Dalid, we had a whole discussion as to who's making what, who participates in the mitzvah of Arava. Is it only the Kohanim or even Yisraelim? So, one opinion stated, the whole debate got started by Rish Lakish on Daf Mem Dalid, who told us that Kohanim Balei Mumin participate in Hakafas HaMizbeach. Kohanim Balei Mumin, a Kohen with a physical blemish, defect, who is disqualified from the Avoida, is what? Does the Hakaf, it participates in the Mizbeah. Now, so some Rishonim say, what difference is there between a Kohen who has a Mum and you and me, who are Yisraelim? They're both Pasul Avoida. So, some said, if you remember, Howie will tell you exactly who said it and when we said it, what line on his page of notes it is, that in a Hanami, you're right. Rish Lakish's Kohen Balmum is a code name for anybody. Anybody is allowed to participate. Rav Hai says, absolutely not. The Isur was never suspended for anybody. Not for Yisrael to walk between the Mizbeach and the Mikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim. Not even for Kohen Balmum. It says, Hayu Makifin is a Mizbeach. Says Rav Hai, Makifin doesn't mean to make a circuit. What does it mean? To go to the Mizbeach and stop there. I'll read it to you again. I'm quoting him. Va'al Tishiveni, don't ask a question on me. Midisnan b'chol yom ha-kimachas. Shehakofas ha-mizbeach amidohi velo hakofa saviv hiluch biraglai. Therefore, I can say in my communities, we go around the bima three times. The Mishnah says they only did it once, because that's not talking about hakofa. That's talking about going up to the Mizbeach. Why can't it mean Hakafa? Because no one was given a license, unless you're a kosher Kohen, to walk between the side of the Mizbeach that faces the Kodesh HaKadosh. Nobody could do so.
So he's saying everybody went, but only up to a certain... Didn't do a
correct. So they didn't do a real Hakafa.
They just went to where they're allowed to go and back.
Correct.
But everybody went.
Everybody went. Everyone is allowed to go to that side of the Mizbeach. So therefore, I can tell you that the proper thing to do is to make 3 hakafos every single day and 7 on Hoshana Rabbah. And every person who followed Rav Hai said, how come you do 7 on Hoshana Rabbah? How, Rav Hai, why do you do 7 on Hoshana Rabbah? Because the Mishnah says on that day they did 7. Well, that same Mishnah says that every other day they did 1. So where'd you come up with 3, 4? I'm just telling you, Rav Hai, and he was obviously being criticized, and that's why he uses those words. Al tishiveni, don't ask any kashas from this Mishnah, because everybody else did ask that kasha from that Mishnah. Yeah. Yeah. That's Rav Hai says.
So he interprets makifin or hakafa in different ways.
Correct.
In situation.
Correct. The Mishnah's hakafa does not mean hakafa. The Mishnah's hakafa means you walk up to the Mizbeach, you put the aravos on the thing, you take them up, and that's it. You don't walk around the Mizbeach. Okay.
I'm saying before Yom.
Bechol Yom.
I've done 3 times. Bechol Yom going to die with you.
That's correct. He walked around 3 times.
Then
they only did it once. But what did they did? They didn't do real hakafas. I'm telling you that hakafas is 3 times. But hakafas don't match what took place in the Mikdash. Because in the Mikdash, there were no hakafas.
They couldn't go past that point.
Correct. Only a kosher kohen. That's correct. And Rabbi Shlokish said that Bali Moon did so. So if Rabbi Shlokish said that Bali Moon did so, by definition, it could not have been a real hakafa. So it had to be, you call hakafa hakafas, even though it's not hakafas. It's my kind of hakafas. You know, that's enough. That's walking around is very oilless. Very, you know. That's my kind of hakafas. Just walking up to it and that's it. Goodbye. Yeah.
But on Hoshana Rabbah, did it say that they did? It says that they did 7. So that they went up to it 7.
That's
times?
Correct. Precisely.
They walked up,
walked back, walked back. That's correct. Walked up. It's precisely. That's what Rav Hai says. They just took it, walked away, came back, walked away, came back. Okay. That's what they did according to Rav Hai. Yeah. Now, take a look at Rashi, trying to understand what the people said, the praise that they said. Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Matzlichana. Everybody knows what that means, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, and do not think, according to Professor Horgan, my Hebrew teacher in YU, he claimed, even though every translation says Hatzlichana means to succeed, this does not mean to succeed. You don't ask God to succeed. What does he, Hatzlacha, mean? It means Hatzlachat HaRuach. To have God's Spirit rest upon you. That you should be uplifted spiritually. Quoted Psukim in Tanakh, that the word Titzlach does not mean success, but rather Lahatzliach, meaning that the Divine Spirit shall hover upon you. Anybody have Dr. Horgan in YU? No? He was already old when I was there, so...
Not related to Horgan, is
he? No, not to Horgan. Dr. Gershon Horgan. He was a big scholar. Not to who?
Horgan.
I can tell you that even in his class, in college, people still... He had no idea what time it was. And he looked at the clock, so they moved it 45 minutes fast. And he knew that the class is over at 4:15. It started 3, so by 4:15, we're out after a half-hour class. Even in college, they were doing that. Dr. Horgan. That's why, yeah. Of course, they would if we relied on the clocks. Now, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ani Vaho, third Rashi on the top. Says Rashi, Ani Vaho, Bigamatria Ana Hashem. That's number one. Bigamatria Ana Hashem. Okay, so what's the... Rashi doesn't tell us what would be the advantage of saying something else that is Bigamatria Ana Hashem. What would be the downside of just saying Ana Hashem? What's the downside of it? Rashi doesn't tell us. Then he says, V'od, no. Anivaho is not just the gematria that eats on Hashem. It has significance. It has significance. That is, what is what? Kineged v'od mishivim ushtayim shemos hein hanekuvim b'shalosh mikraos hasmuchim b'parshas vayhi b'shalach. So please take the other side of the page and I'll explain you how the Rav explained what Rashi is saying. The 72 letters is the shame, the letters of the Shem Hashem. The name of Shem Hashem, God's name, is always written Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Hei Vav Kei. It's always written that way. The question is, how is it sounding? How is it sound? So out of the Mikdash, we sound the name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adonai. That's how we are told to recite the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Mikdash, there were a variety of different soundings of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was one with 42 letters, and another one which was of 72 letters. 72 letters. The word reading was done with 72 letters. Where did these 72 letters come from, says Rashi? A combination of three psukim in Parshas B'Shalach. Rashi says, if you will count the letters in Pasuk Yutet, Vayisa Malach Elohim, until the end of Pasuk Chav, there are 72 letters. Look, that's what Hashem on Farish is, 72 letters. How did Rashi, of all places in Tanakh, find two psukim in Parshas B'Shalach to record this? So the Rav said, obviously it's based on Kabbalah, and he said as follows. There is a well-known medrash that this is talking about as Am Yisrael are approaching the Yam Suf and they stop dead their tracks and they say, "Rabbi Shem, what are we doing?" B'nai Yisrael, that's what happens. Vayitzakul, Hamibliyei Kvarim Mitzrayim. Their standard argument: is there a shortage of graves in Mitzrayim that you took us to die here in the desert? Because they didn't look at any map. The Mitzrayim were pursuing, and the Yam Suf is on the other side. So as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is contemplating what to do, and he wants to split the Yam Suf on B'nai Yisrael's behalf, the angels in heaven say, do not split the heavens on their behalf. The Yam Suf on their behalf. Why? Everybody knows this. Halaloiv de'avoy de'zara, v'halaloiv de'avoy de'zara. These Egyptians are idolaters, and these Jews are idolaters. They don't deserve to be saved. They're both idolaters. Good. So now read the pasuk. Vayisa Malach Elohim. Elohim is Midas Adin. Haholech lufnei Machne Yisrael. Vayelech me'achareihem. Oh. Where do they position themselves? In between Mitzrayim and what? And the Jews. Because the Jews are running towards the Yam Suf, walking towards the Yam Suf. The Egyptians are pursuing God. So then the Machne, the Midas Hadin, stands right in between. As if to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both of them deserve to die. Why are you going to say that? What happens? Vayisa Amud He'anon Mipnehem Vaya'amod Me'acharehem. Suddenly the cloud cover begins to move. We read in this parsha, Vayered Hashem Be'anon. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal Be'anon? Hashem Hashem Kel Racham B'chanan. So the Anan here is what? The Midas HaRachamim, triumphing or trying to intervene against the Midas HaDin. Vayavo Bein Machne Mitzrayim Bein Machne Yisrael. This Midas HaRachamim also now comes between what? Between the two camps. Vayhi He'anan V'Hachoshech V'Yo'eres Haloyla V'Loikorab Ze'el Ze'el Kol Haloyla. What does that mean? V'Loikorab Ze'el Ze'el Kol Haloyla. Midas HaDin can't touch Midas HaRachamim. Midas HaDin can't touch it. But like it literally means the Anan and the Malach Elokim can't come near one another. This is what Rashi has in mind. The Shem HaMeforash
which is enunciated in the Mikdash, is predicated upon the fact that at times HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry with Klal Yisrael, and he wants to operate with Midas Adin, but the shame HaMiforash, which explains it, that the Midas HaRachamim comes and prevails over the Midas Adin. That's why on Yom Kippur, if you remember, V'hakoy hanim, right? Kishayu shoyim im es Hashem hanichbad, miforash yotzei bipi Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol used the Shem hamiforash. Why? Because what is the purpose of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? To pray for rachamim, that let the Midas HaRachamim prevail over the Midas Adin. So that's why we emphasize that the Kohen Gadol in the Mikdash, as he's praying for what? Ana, Chatu, Avu, Pashu, Ani, Abesi, Amcha B'nei Kadosh, we're all guilty as charged. Chatu, Avu, Pashu, Amcha B'nei Kadosh, guilty as charged. But Ana Hashem, he didn't say Ana Hashem. He said Ana with the 72 letters. Kaperna, Rachana, and so on and so forth. That's what Rashi has in mind. That these, the Shem HaMiforash, comes from the combination of letters that are found here, and based on Kabbalah, it's the Machane Elohim competing with the Anan for who will serve, who will ultimately prevail at that particular time. And in fact, there is a Machloikas of Rishayim, how often the Shem HaMiforash was used in Mikdash. Some Rishayim claim it was only Yom Kippur in the process of what? Bakashat Kapara. But when the Kohen did Birchat Kohanim every single day in the Mikdash, they used the regular Shem Havaya. You know, like Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, like we say it. The Rambam's opinion is no. Every single time that a Kohen articulates the Shem Hashem in the Mikdash for any part of his ritual service, he always uses the Shem HaMiforash. Always uses the Shem HaMiforash. Now, Tosfos gives another interpretation. If you look at Tosfos, in the Anivaho, and he sees he quotes Rashi, very nice. He says, "V'adayin in the middle, of the Tosfos, about right in the middle of the Tosfos, v'adayin sorich tam lozel loma nishtanu shneimus halalu darminon tvei machrine." And he says, "Mishim the darshina be'echa rabasi kradach sibi yecheskel va'ani b'socha gola ukradach sibi yirmiyahu v'hu asur bazikim." God is chained in chains, wrapped up in chains. Kavayachol hu ba'atzmo. Vahainu hoshana shiyoshia la'atzmo. Ani vahu. What does that mean? I am him. Him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Help him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chained. Chained up. What does this mean? So again, Rav explained that there are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself runs out of excuses to defend Am Yisrael. He just has nothing to say. We are so stubborn and obstinate that we repeat our transgressions over and over and over again. And he runs out of excuses in defending us, even to the angels. Anyway. So what's the bottom line last resort? We often ask this of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? L'man Shimcha HaGadol. Not to allow Chilul Shem Shamayim. If Am Yisrael are not going to be saved, L'ma Yomru HaGoyim Ayeinu Eloheinu. Where is their God? Where is their God? And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, L'man Shmi HaMichulal Bagoyim. He says this many times in Tanakh. That's the reason. Not because you're such tzaddikim, but rather because I want to avoid the desecration of my name. So ani vaho hoshiyana. I need some assistance, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs some assistance, because he is tied in chains. He has nothing with which to defend Am Yisrael. We are so bereft of any zichuyot, any merits, that he ran out of defense excuses for us. There's only one thing, for him to get rid of those shackles and to protect his own name, to somehow show the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable. That's the intention, claims Tosfos, ani vaho, I and HaKadosh Baruch Hu need your assistance. And as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's freeing himself, we then will become free as well. There is a rush in Yuma, only Rishon. If you wanted to check it, it's daf in Perikhes of Yuma, entry 19 of the rush, who says that when the Shem Havaya is, it's read Kichsova, Jehovah, like that's what it is. It's read the way it's written. The rush is the only, that's what he, and then what he believes is that the Kohen explained the Shem Hashem, whatever it means, al pi Kabbalah, that Midas Hadin should, Midas Harachamim should prevail over Midas Hadin. And that's how the Rush interprets the phrase, Miforash, don't say Mipi and Kohen Gadol. Not the Shem HaMiforash, the way it was sounded, but his Perush, his explanation of what the Shem Hashem represented, but the way it was read is Kichsava. Just the way it's written in the text. We, most other Rishayim, do not believe that the Shem Havaya is ever sounded Kichsava. That's why we never do so, ever. We never sound the Shem Yudke Vavke the way it's written. But that's the Rush. You should know the Rush is the only one who believes that that is true. Yeah? Yeah?
So how does it explain the Machlokes Reflection of Rabbi Yochanan? What are they debating?
In where? The previous Gemara?
Yeah, there's Beit Ulam and there's Be'ah. What were they talking about?
As to whether or not there's a suspension of the Isur to walk.
Right, but according to Rabbi Yochanan,
you don't have to have a Machlokes.
Right, so then Machlokes, what are they talking about?
No, he believes that perhaps only Rish Lakish, maybe his opinion is predicated only on Rish Lakish. He might tell us that might be the core of the Machlokes. That Rabbi Yochanan, who says that what? That to go around Hakafa, therefore it's only the Kohanim, Tmimin. And others who say it's Bali Mumin, by definition you have to say that Makifin means Amida. Maybe he would say that Rabbi Yochanan would disagree with him. His whole proof is based only on Rish Lakish. But you're right, on Rabbi Yochanan there would be no compelling proof. No compelling proof to what he's saying. Continues the Mishnah. Last thing. Bishas pitirasan mahenoimrin, yoifi lecha mizbeach, yoifi lecha mizbeach. Oh, how beautiful the mizbeach is. Rabbi Lezer oimer, liya ulecha mizbeach, liya ulecha mizbeach. Now, most people believe that this is just a nice little tribute to the mizbeach. Yoifi lecha mizbeach. And Rabbi Lazar just says, another way of saying, a nice way of saying, you're nice, Mizbeah. So again, the Rav said, no, there's a lot more to it for Rabbi Lazar. What is the difference between the name Yudke Yah, and Yudke Vavke? What is the difference? The difference is that one represents the Shem Mole, and the other one represents only mitzas shem hava. Yudke is part of God's name. So he said, focus on Ashrei. Tehilas Hashem yedaber pi, vivarev kol basar shem kacho li'olam vayeh. There's going to be a period of time in history, we call that Divais HaMashiach, when all the peoples of this world will come to recognize the authority of HaKadosh Baruch.
That will be Tehilas Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vivarech Kol Basar Shem Kachor Le'elam Kerei. We recite this Pesach at night, after Hallel, Nishmas Kol Chai Tevarech Hashimcha Hashem Elokei. During the Messianic era, every living creature will come to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But right now, it's not yet true. Va'anachnu Nivarech Yah. We say it every day. We don't think what it means. Va'anachnu, we are the only ones who recognize the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But since there are infidels, people in Gaza, who are shooting rockets every single day and don't acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore you can't say, it's not yet Nivarech Yud Kei Vav Kei. They haven't come to grips with it. We are the only ones, and we have not yet reached the Ge'ulah. Says Rabbi Elazar, even if you have not yet reached the Ge'ulah, you still should say Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Liyah or the Chom is Be'ah. Even if it's only in the category of Yud Hey, namely, that it's Ein Shmo Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalem, as Chazal say, based on Parshas Peshalah, we read it on Thursday. Ki Yod Al Kes Yah Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek Midor Dar Ein Shmo Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalem Achi Mochez Zar Shalom Olim. Until the name of, until our memory of Amalek is eradicated, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be complete. Says Rabbi Elazar, even if you're living at a time of not complete redemption, nonetheless, we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'anachnu nivarech yah. And therefore he adds, not just yoifi l'chom mizbeach, but rather what? We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it is not yet the period of absolute Ge'ulah. Alright, we'll stop here and continue next Devach.